Good afternoon and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, September 11th, 2014. My name is Shona Strausser. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk to the Canvas about this weekend's Tiles and Fire community art event. Colette Costa will be here to talk about all the amazing things happening at the Goldtown Theater downtown. We'll hear from Val Snyder of the Brown Boots Costume Company about the costume sale and what's going on over there in Douglas. And we'll also talk with Rachel Jusler with Arts Up, as we do every Thursday. All that and more here on Juno Afternoon, but first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are divided over President Obama's decision to expand airstrikes against militants who are part of the group known as ISIL without congressional approval. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington, D.C.
If the U.S. goes to war in the Middle East, it will impact Native Americans, who make up a disproportionately large number of the nation's military. But Congress might not ever be asked for approval. The president and most congressional leaders don't want rank-and-file lawmakers to weigh in on the U.S. response to the Islamic State. But when it comes to conducting more U.S. airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says even in the midst of the campaign season, lawmakers owe it to soldiers to approve or disapprove of any sustained military campaign.
During a time of war, we ask our troops to give their best, even to the point of sacrificing their own lives. When compared against that, how much of a sacrifice is it for a president to engage in a possibly contentious debate with Congress about whether military action is a good idea?
The debate is cutting across the usual partisan divide here in Washington. More hawkish lawmakers and Democratic supporters of the president support him acting unilaterally during this contentious election year. The president is also asking Congress for additional funds to arm moderate rebel groups in Syria. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
A Lake Superior tribe is hiring a contractor to finish a report on the more than 1,400 Department of Defense barrels dumped into Lake Superior. Mike Simonson has more.
The Red Cliff Band has been working for more than a decade to remove some of those barrels, which were quietly unloaded by order of the DOD into Lake Superior near Duluth. It happened during the Cold War years between 1958 and 1962. The 55-gallon drums contain ammunition parts from the Honeywell Munitions Plant in the Twin Cities. 2 years ago, Redcliffe was able to raise 25 of the barrels, but had to stop when they found 22 contained small but active cluster bomb detonators, 15,000 in all. Now they're in the process of hiring a firm to complete a draft investigation report. That report could determine if they'll raise more drums. Tribal project manager Gary Defoe says raising another 45 barrels will give them a good sampling, but he's not sure when that can happen.
At this point, that's hard to say. We're going to wait till we get the results back. You know, we still would like to reach our goal of 70 and possibly get the chemical components of the M5 propellant tested, for sure.
Defoe says it's hard to say if the Army Corps of Engineers will agree or if more funding will come from the Department of Defense. In any case, Red Cliff spokesman Frank Kane says they consider it their duty to protect Lake Superior.
Red Cliff has a strong connection to fishing and to water. And because it is in ceded territory, Red Cliff is in an excellent position to make sure that the resources are available for everyone.
So far, the DOD has paid Red Cliff $3.3 million to locate, remove, and study the barrels. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson.
This week, the Northern Arapaho Business Council announced to tribal members it dissolved the Shoshone and Arapaho Joint Business Council. The Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone tribes share the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. The council worked together on joint tribal affairs. The Northern Arapaho tribe calls the move a big step towards greater self-government and independence. According to the Northern Arapaho, the council was never part of its traditional government, but was created by federal officials, and claims for decades the joint council has hobbled both tribes. The Northern Arapaho tribe has committed to continue to cooperate with the Eastern Shoshone through other methods. The Eastern Shoshone told local news agencies that it does not agree with the split and is reviewing the decision. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, September 11th. And in the studio with me, I have from the Canvas, Mr. Brandon Howard and Catherine Kell. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
Thanks, Shona.
So you're doing this new, cool community art project, and it has a title, and it's Tiles and Fire, which I love. Tell us about it.
Well, the event is going to be held this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m., we're going to be at Sandy Beach. We're going to have the opportunity for people to basically come down and decorate their tiles with a wide variety of materials and then pit fire them. And, Brandon, do you want to kind of describe, like, the pit firing process?
Yeah. So pit firing is kind of a cool process where you just take all of the wear, in this case the tiles, and the tiles will have different colorants, and different materials that act as colorants when they go into the fire. And you just put them into the fire with a bunch of sawdust, a bunch of wood, and you let the fire go. You let it burn down, and it puts its own unique mark on the tiles. So even though people have the opportunity to apply colorants and decorate the tiles, in the end you have no idea what you're going to pull out of the fire. It has to do with the wind and how much smoke the fire generates and how hot the fire gets. And so it's a really cool process.
And so this is actually part of, each of these tiles is actually going to be part of a wall. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're going to take the tiles that are created at this event and combine them with porcelain tiles that are going to have designs created by Reach artists, placed on there, and combine the two, basically, and to a collaborative tile mural that is going to be on the Sewerage Street side of the building. Right now, we have a giant graffiti advertisement, and that's exactly where the mural is going to be placed.
Very cool. What was the impetus behind this project? Were you like, hey, we need something in this space. What do we do?
I got to do a community art project last year that was fantastic. At the State Museum, we built this huge walrus with like 600 pounds of clay, 60 kids, and a bunch of the Reach artists, and it was a blast. And Winston the Walrus came out fantastic. And I just wanted to do another project like that. And had the idea of doing some kind of tile mural. But didn't have a place for it. And so I was just walking around, kind of thinking about it and brainstorming, and looked, and there's a huge 8x12. It used to be a window, but it's just covered up with three sheets of plywood now. And most people never even recognize it. So many people walk mm-hmm. by it downtown.
I've been by there 100 times, and I could not tell you right now what space that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I told people in the building about it, and they're like, oh, I've never seen that. And then you go out, and you look at it, and you're like, whoa. It is a big, kind of ugly space. So it's exciting to be able to create something there that people really will notice and recognize.
So when you say community art project, that this is really open for anyone to attend.
Absolutely.
Yep. The only cost is it's $10 per tile, but we will also be providing free hot dogs. We'll have the makings for s'mores. So we're definitely encouraging people to stick around after they decorate their tile, you know, hang out at a giant bonfire down at Sandy Beach.
Sandy Beach, what time is it getting started?
The event is 12 to 3. is when we'll have the materials for decorating the tiles, and then the bonfire will light it up at 3 p.m., I believe.
Yep, we'll start the fire at 3. The fire just burns down, and then you let it smolder, and the next morning we'll pull the tiles out, and we'll clean up anything else that was where the fire was. And then the tiles will get a clear coat of varnish, and it really makes the colors pop. You know, the copper gives you these really nice red and pink blushes. The steel wool does grays and blues. And so all these different things kind of give the tile its character. And then in the spring, we don't have a set date, but sometime in the spring we'll be putting the whole mural up.
And will community members be asked to participate in that or come check it out? Or?
Oh, it's going to be right in the middle of downtown. We would love everybody to come check it out. Absolutely. And and it's also really, it's going to be a cool thing to be, you know, to know that your tile is up there in the blend someplace, you know.
And how many tiles will you be looking at making on Saturday?
We got about, so the whole mural all together is going to be close to 400 tiles.
Oh, wow.
And half of those are going to be the pit fire tiles. So we've got 150 to 200 tiles to put up.
That's amazing. So you're looking for some people to really show up. I mean,
oh,
you're not
yes.
talking like we've got 30 tiles. You're talking we've got 200 tiles and let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as many people as we could get down there. It'd be great.
And all ages, yeah?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And so what are some of the materials that will be used to make these tiles happen? So if I was to come down and I'm looking at just kind of a, because I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination, and so what would I be looking at as far as what materials to use?
Well, we're going to have copper wire of different thicknesses that you can either like wrap around the tile or place on the tile. We're going to have copper scraps, which you can cut out and also place on your tiles. We're going to have different types of steel wool, which are going to have, you know, some color variations. And then we're also going to have the glaze pencils for decorating the tiles. And basically, you can either lay stuff on the tiles, and we'll have twine where you can wrap your tile to keep everything on there, or you can just actually physically wrap the materials around the tile.
Oh, so it's not like paint. It's like you actually make an etching or there's some kind of indentation in the tile.
So all these things that you put on the tile will actually burn out in the fire.
Cool.
And then they leave their mark behind on the tile. And so the other cool thing about it is, you know, if my tile goes in next to Catherine's and Catherine put tons of copper on hers and I put tons of steel wool on mine, mine will have different colorants than Catherine's, but then, you know, because of the way the fire moves, you know, some of the colorants from Catherine's will end up on my tile, and I might get a little blush of pink or red on mine from Catherine's. And so it's not, you know, you say that you're not artistic, and this is kind of a cool process for that reason, that you just put whatever you want on the tile, and you don't really have complete control of what comes out. What comes out has a heavy is heavily influenced by what Catherine does and by what I do and by what the fire does. So in the end, what comes out is a real collaborative unit.
And that's amazing because it is a community art project, so it seems a very community process, really.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Collaborative from start to finish.
Very cool. And let's give those times one more time. It's at Sandy Beach, and you can show up between
noon and 3 p.m.
And can you stick around and watch things melt at 3?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's my favorite part of everything, really. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think everybody in Juneau likes a good bonfire.
That's right. That's
yeah, cool. And you can either purchase tiles ahead of time down at the canvas, and we'll also be able to purchase them at the event itself, so...
Very cool. Sounds like a really great time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Saturday. And if you want some more information, you can definitely check out stuff going on at the Canvas. And there's always tons and tons of really awesome programs and classes and all sorts of stuff. Can you hook us up with the Canvas website or a phone number to get in touch there?
Yeah. If you want to see, like, we have our fall schedule up right now. It's on www.canvasarts.org. You can also give us a call at 586- 1750 or stop by in person at 223 Seward Street.
Cool. Well, Brandon and Catherine, that sounds really awesome. I can't wait to see that mural go up, and hopefully I'll swing by for a tile.
Yeah.
Thanks
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming
Thank you.
On.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come love, baby.
There's my baby lost the door. What I'm begging you, save a little doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come love the baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine. One day upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love the baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows.
And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is one of those days that I just love my job. Hi.
You have those days?
Just today. This is Colette Costa in here in the studio.
I wouldn't know what those days are like.
And, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Costa, I'm so happy you're here because I have to say...
Say it.
The Gold Town downtown. If you haven't been to the Gold Town, well, get out from under the rock.
It does exist.
It's an amazing space. You're doing a really cool, amazing things there.
Oh,
and what's fun? It's like a whole new breath of fresh air.
After
downtown.
12 years, yeah. It's only been a dozen years. Why would you know about it?
Yeah. So thanks for joining me.
So bitter.
Here
so
in
funny.
The studio.
Oh,
so what's
hilarious.
Going on? You were just talking about this crazy crowdsourcing thing that sounds really cool.
Everybody's into crowdsourcing these days, right? It's like crowd surfing, but you don't have to feel self-conscious if you're chubby.
You don't have to get groped.
Because I'm not going to crowd surf. Although, anyway, and, you know, I think it's important to always be looking, always be selling, always be selling. That's a line from a movie.
Of course it is.
We have to hurry this interview along because so they have this, there's some great program, because I'm also talking about, okay, fine, we're showing some movies, I'm showing movies, you're whatever, it's fine, that's important, but I think it's also important to have everybody's favorite word, community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community. Because quite frankly, I have got very suspect taste. I learned that when I tried to show Dogtooth, and but... So I don't trust my taste most of the time.
But there are other people out there who also have things they would like to see. And I know if I wasn't running a movie theater, I would still want to say, hey, I would like to see this movie. And, of course, I don't have time to put all those requests in. But there is this great thing out there. It's basically like crowdsourcing for movie watchers, for people who enjoy movies. And there's a couple different companies that do this, and they're basically a way station between someone like myself or any theater operator and the public. So, for example, there's one that we're trying to put together for the end of the month on the 30th. It's a documentary called American Mustang. It's a new documentary. It's basically about the wild American Mustang, and it kind of looks at different, you know, it's got beautiful photography of the horses, and then it's just got the reality of what's happening with them. It's a really niche film. It looks like it's really good for a certain market. It's not something that I could afford to pay for and show and then, you know, take a big risk on. But somebody in town contacted me, and they said, you know, I think this movie would be great. And, you know, I find out that it's a part of this one particular company's library. So there's this one company that's called Tug, terrible name. But so basically what you do is you can go through their library, find something you like, you contact them, they contact me, we all choose a mutually agreeable day, you know, and you'd want it, you know, a couple weeks in advance, so you have time. And then you all work together to promote this film from within, and all you would need to do as a consumer is go to their website, pledge to see the movie, just like you would on Kickstarter. And if, you know, we set a number of how many people need to pledge to see this movie in order to make it profitable for everybody.
So is it a number of people, a number of amount?
No, it's people. So in this case, I think it's 35 people.
Oh.
It's pretty nominal.
Yeah.
But basically, if 35 people agree to see this, then You pay the company, so you buy your ticket online, whatever it is. If 35 people agree to do that, then the movie goes through. They charge a credit card, and I think they only charge like $8. It's even cheaper than what I charge. And then, I have a deal with them, et cetera, and the movie comes together. If that many people pledge and the movie shows, anybody else can show up. So if we get that minimum, I announce the movies on the schedule. You can show up. You don't have to. You could buy tickets at the door if you want. You don't, you know, have to get it online if it's going through. And the movie's being shown. And you have this kind of great night with this, you know, collective of people with similar interests.
That's pretty cool because you've essentially hand-picked the people you want to see the movie with, right?
More or less.
Yeah.
And then I just got another request for another film. I can't remember the title, but it's about motorcycle racing and not just racing, but sort of the world of, you know, dirt bikes and motocross and this. And, again, same thing, really niche market. And it's not just that it's that I'm not in touch with that market. You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. And so it's kind of nice because if you have that interest, you clearly are going to know anybody in town who likes that kind of thing. So, you as a customer are way better at promoting something. People can only listen to me say about once a year, you really need to see this movie, until it's pointless.
Right.
So I don't even bother with that anymore. You really got to see this movie.
Except for Boyhood, I mean.
Yeah, you should probably see Boyhood.
Yeah.
But you see it 7 or 8 times like I did. Really gets good. Really sees a new Woody Allen movie, too. Magic in the Moonlight opening tonight. But
oh, is that tonight?
That's tonight.
It's got our boy in it, too.
Colin Firth. But anyway, I do love this idea. And the Tug Library is really extensive.
Oh, really?
They kind of specialize in documentaries. I mean, there's a new one that's kind of making a buzz called Cowspiracy. About meat. I don't know. People have a thing about meat. I love it, personally. I don't understand if you think it's disgusting. It is. But
Cowspiracy is a new genre of film, or that's a documentary?
That's a documentary.
Okay, good.
But, you know, they also have, they have thousands of titles, and it's certainly not just docs. But I just think it's a really, it's a great way to get involved in something for basically the consumer to be the programmer. And, you know, diversification, and diversification, diversification.
That's right. And let's face it, who doesn't want to program a theater? I mean, it's so crack.
I'm raising my hand.
Yes, you are.
So are you. But I do know that feeling, like, when you just heard about, you know, some weird little flick that you think, oh, man, I'd love to see that. And me and 12 other friends would, too, and now you can. And there's actually a couple, there's actually a couple different companies that do this now. And a lot of them are titles, like American Mustang, I hadn't really heard of. So I encourage it. And you can go to our website, goldtownnick.com, and there's a thing up there already on American Mustang. And that should lead you to the Tug site, and you can kind of sift through there. And yeah, and we're doing Sundance short films Monday and Tuesday.
Ooh, I love those.
Yeah, they look really good. So the Sundance Selects from 2014, and I think that's just Monday, Tuesday.
Very cool. Yeah, don't miss that.
Just don't. Hey, folks, don't miss this movie.
God. You see one movie this year.
See all of them.
So you've got Woody Allen opening tonight. You can check out the Tug stuff, American Mustang, and that's online at goldtownnick.com.
Explosive.
And, indeed, like a rocket. And then also you've got...
Woody Allen. And, you know, I threw in a couple more showings of Boyhood. It really is a terrific film. It's pretty epic, but we're doing Saturday and Sunday matinees, and I'll probably put it, I have an open Wednesday next week, I might put it in there. So
okay,
we got that on the line.
Wow, and Not So Silent film series, you got the Karen and Spotlight series.
BTW, if you're a musician out there and you have got a couple weeks to spare, give me a call. I need to start lining up more silent films, and I need live musicians to do it. Don't feel like you can't do it because you've never watched a silent film. It's I will take you by your little musical hand, and you know, let's make this happen. It's a community effort. We're here together, folks.
Oh, nice.
To make this town a better place.
That's true. It's so true.
It's so true.
Well, Casa...
Well, the three people that are still listening are like, can you please make her stop now and put some great music on that I can...
And it's actually Garrison Keillor.
Oh, I was really shooting for some Laura Branigan.
I know.
That's cool, too, though.
But I did play Golden Years before you came in.
Oh, whoa. Bop, bop, bop.
That's right. Gold Town. Golden. Weak connection, but it's all right.
Clever girl.
What is that website? GoldTownNick.com, right?
I don't know anymore. I give up.
Check it out, Colette
Check
Costa.
Check it out.
Thank you for everything.
Everybody, Shona Strasser. Come on, Shona Strasser. For how much longer, we don't know, but my God. My gosh. What doesn't this woman do? She doesn't do windows.
Clearly.
I love that I can sit in the radio station and look out the window and see the map, see the flag of Michigan billowing in the wind, overpowering the jack, saying, you'll get nowhere without me. I'm an elk and a deer mounting a symbol in the center. Because nothing says Michigan like an elk and a deer. What? Really? It should be Madonna and Tom Selleck with like a 57 Chevy in the middle. That's a flag. How do we get here?
Spoken like a true... Are you a Detroitan? Is that what it's called?
I'm a Detroit-eskin.
Ah.
That's 13 mile.
Got it.
5 miles away from the epicenter.
Colette Costa, everyone.
Jonas Strasser.
Gold Town Nickelodeon. Check it out.
Check it out. All sorts
of cool stuff going on. And here is Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 11th of September, 2014. It's the birthday of William Sidney Porter, better known by his pen name O. Henry, born Greensboro, North Carolina, 1862. He was a young man living in Texas when he was convicted of embezzlement at the bank where he worked, and he was sent to federal prison. He served 3 years in prison, didn't want anybody to know about it, told his daughter he'd been away on business, and it wasn't until after he died that the public learned that O. Henry, the famous author, had gotten his start in prison. One of O. Henry's lesser-known stories, The Furnished Room, the story of a young man who rents a dingy room in a boarding house in Manhattan. He's been looking for the girl he loves who has disappeared. He thinks she may have lived in this room that he rents because he can smell her perfume. He asks the housekeeper if she has seen a beautiful girl with a mole on her left eyebrow, and the housekeeper says no. The young man locks himself up in the room. The scent of the perfume of his loved one gradually disappears. He seals off the room with strips of bed sheets, lies down, and kills himself by turning on the gas. And the story ends with the housekeeper explaining to a friend of hers that she rented a room to a young man that day, but because she didn't want to discourage him from renting, she didn't tell him that a young girl had killed herself turning on the gas in that same room 1 week before, a girl with a mole on her left eyebrow. The Gift of the Magi, another famous story of O. Henry's, young married couple, Jim and Della. It's Christmas time. Della has beautiful long hair, which Jim is so fond of, and Jim has a gold watch that his grandfather had given him. They don't have much money. They want to give each other a wonderful gift for Christmas. So Jim ends up pawning the watch to buy his wife combs for her hair, and at the same time Della sells her hair for enough money to buy her husband a fob chain for his watch. It was on this date, 1914, W.C. Handy published his St. Louis Blues, his most famous song. He said the lyrics had been inspired by a woman he met on the streets of St. Louis, whose husband had taken off, and she said, "My man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea." The song was a big hit right away. Here's a poem for today by Margaret Gibson, Solitudes. For today I will memorize the two trees now in end of summer light, and the drifts of wood asters as the yard slopes away toward the black pond, blue dragonflies in the clouds that shine and float there, as if risen from the bottom, unbidden. Now, just over the fern, quick, a glimpse of it, the plume of foxtail's copper, as the dog runs in ovals and eights, chasing scent. The yard is a waiting room. I have my chair, you yours. The hawk has its branch in the pine. White petals ripple in the quiet light. In the quiet, a necklace of gourds on the garden fence, a morning cloak on a seeded spray of crabgrass, an undulant whine of cicadas. Margaret Gibson's poem Solitudes, from her collection Broken Cup, published by Louisiana State University Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, September 11th, and our next guest in the studio is Valerie Snyder, a.k.a. Val, of Brown Booth Costume Company. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Shona. Hi.
Hi. So Brown Booth's Costume Company has now been around for how long?
Almost a year. First Friday, October is our big anniversary.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how fast the time goes. And for those people who don't know what Brown Booth's Costume Company is, can you let us know all about it?
Sure. We rent and sell costumes to the general public, and we also serve as a costume shop for performing arts studios, namely Perseverance Theater. We're the shop for them, and we build all of the shows for the main stage season. And then we're available to anyone else that needs it. We did Opera to Go and Juno Lyric Opera last year. We're doing Opera to Go again this year. So, and I think last year we also worked with Floyd Dryden Middle School and Thunder Mountain. So any of those performing groups that need a place to work, a place to store, or a place to pick up costumes, that's us.
And it's so cool. I mean, if you get a chance to, I mean, I hope you go in there, because even you can look around and you can see things that you think you don't need, but it turns out that you just might.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of clothes, and because there's actually kind of a line there. It's like clothes and costumes, or is it costume clothes, or?
It's we have a lot of just sort of everyday clothes that are mostly from Perseverance Theater. They were bought for shows, or they were donated for shows, and they might have been in the show, or maybe they didn't get used, and we just sell overstock on consignment for the theater. So you can get a nice outfit for work or for school, and we also have a lot of vintage clothes that have been donated, or they're from the theater. So we have modern clothes, vintage clothes, and then straight up costumes. If you need clown shoes and a purple wig and a big hat, we got it.
Done. Donna, we've got that. And then you also do, how does the rental work? How does that work?
All of the rentals are for 1 week. So anybody over 18 can come and rent, and you just fill out the form. You can reserve in advance. If you know you're going to a thing and you want to snag the right dress early, you can come on in and just reserve. And that's it. You get 1 week and bring it back. We'll do the laundry for you. No problem.
That's so cool.
Yeah, nice and easy.
And there's just really all sorts of cool stuff, which is what the part I love about it.
There is so much stuff, and I can't believe how much have just turned up of companies and people saying, we're so glad you're here. We have this stock we're not using. Take it. We're clearing out somebody's house. We have vintage clothes. Please take them. So it's amazing how much the community has brought to our doorstep for us to use and to share with people that come in.
And for people who don't know, you are quite the seamstress, knitter, just you're quite the costume maker yourself, and I'm lucky that I get to work very close to you, because I've seen some of these creations and have taken pictures. And so you're actually filling out the stock with things that you make, too.
Yeah, we're constantly building. Right now we're in a full-on 1920s production mode, because that's just the hottest thing ever. So as we speak, they're making dresses over there. Yeah, we build for the shows, and then when there's no show, we just build stuff that we think we need. I think Ninja Turtles is up next on the list. We've got some Crusader outfits, and we're knitting chainmail. And
you did some Star Wars is on the horizon, right?
Star Wars is on the horizon. We've got some robes. We've got some Jedi robes. Yeah, plans for X-Wing pilots and Boba Fett armor and anything we can come up with.
And who doesn't want to be a Jedi, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you've done this before, but not quite as part as Brown Boots, maybe, but you're doing a big old costume sale this weekend.
We are doing the Perseverance Costume Sale, which listeners may recall from years ago. It used to be an annual thing, and it's been a few years, so we've built up a lot of stuff. So this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's going to be at the theater and at Brown Boots, which is right next door. And we are just going through the stock and pulling all kinds of stuff. We've got kid-sized stuff, adults, modern clothes, costumes, wigs, shoes.
Yeah, tons and tons of stuff.
It's so much stuff. Please come and buy it, because we can't fit it in our store anymore. It's, you know, it's been in boxes, and we're just pulling it out and hanging it up. And it's a lot of stuff, a lot of pants, a lot of men's, if you need a suit. And the zombie rack, which is my favorite part of
you have a
the,
whole
we have a whole rack of zombie clothes. So they are stuff that's totally awesome. Tuxedos, the vintage stuff, party dresses, that just you couldn't wear them as normal clothes anymore. They're ripped, they're stained, they're not quite right. If you wore them to work, people would look at you a little askew. But they're totally perfect for zombies. Just, they're even pre-ripped. You don't have to do anything. Just a little blood, a little brains, and you're ready to go.
That's all the fad right now, pre-ripped.
Uh-huh, yeah. When they're done, we'll donate it to Abercrombie & Fitch.
Nice. So, and it's perfect timing, because Halloween is coming up. It's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually kind of the impetus for the sale, right?
Yeah. It was always just sort of a clearing out the stock so we can fit the new season's costumes in and yeah, get people ready for Halloween. Stuff's pretty discounted. The zombie clothes are all $3 each. You can get a tuxedo for $3. And everything else is also on the cheap. You can definitely pick up a new outfit and all your Halloween stuff in real quick.
And that's pretty cool because KXLL also does the big old zombie walk around Halloween, too. Mm-hmm. So that starts at the cemetery. You can swing by tomorrow, pick up a tuxedo.
Wedding dress. It's all there.
I'm going to go as a zombie bride.
We need a zombie bride and groom. We've got it.
Oh, can you imagine just being, right at the altar and you get attacked by a zombie and then you're just...
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
I hate it when that happens.
It puts a real dent in your day.
So, Val, the sale is at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you said both at Brown Boots and at Perseverance Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's not going to be a big sale.
It's a lot, yeah.
Very cool. And are you on social media? Do you have a page where people can check out things?
Or? Yes. You can go to brownbootscostumes.com. There's more info on the sale, and there's pictures of the shop and what we do. We're also on Facebook under our own name, and I think the Perseverance Theater Facebook page also has stuff about it there. And we're also an Etsy shop, but you can get to that through our website, too, brownbootscostumes.com.
That's so cool. And what about, so let's say I was, just thinking one day, I really need to be an Ewok. For some reason, I have Star Wars on the brain today. But I have to be an Ewok. And I want to be that for Christmas because you're pretty busy at Halloween,
uh-huh.
I imagine. So can people say, hey, Val, I want to make this costume. Can you make this costume? So it's like do you do that by special order?
We've done some... commission work. We say, I need this in my size on this date. And there's other people that we say, we're making this style of costumes, and maybe we'll just happen to make one in your size if you request it while we're planning. So you might just luck out, and then it'll turn up in our rental stock, and you can be the first person to have it. But if you're like, no, I got to have that Ewok costume at home, it's mine. We do commissions also. But sometimes we get a little overwhelmed, like when we're building Chicago the next month. So timing is important. If we might say we're just crushed right now and it's got to wait. So planning would be good.
And what about things, and I say big and small alterations, but, I know everybody's got that pile of clothes in their closet that says, oh, I just need this zipper fixed and then I'll be golden again. Do you do that kind of stuff or not really?
Yes, we do alterations as much as we can, which is a lot of replacing zippers and jackets and hemming things and fixing rips. And if your clothes are a little bit too big, yeah, we can do that stuff. So.
Cool. And Brown Boots has things from every era. Is that true? I just say that because I remember I walked in one day and you were like, hey, I said, hey, Val, I need a top hat. And you said, okay, here, look, this one is from 1919 or something ridiculous. You were like, it's actually authentic.
We do have an authentic top hat from, I think it's 18 some odd.
Oh, my goodness.
It's old. Yes. But we have... a lot of vintage stuff that goes back. That hat might be one of the oldest. We have a wedding dress from 1911. And then a lot of reproduction stuff. So most eras we can cover. We can do ancient Greece. We can do the Middle Ages, the Renaissance. Lots of 20th century. Obviously, it's our best decade. So, yeah, we can handle most of it. And we're keeping a list of things that get requested. So if you want something and we don't have it, you might inspire us to make it and have it.
That sounds very cool. Could you give us that website one more time?
Yes, brownbootscostumes.com. We're also on Facebook under Brown Boots Costumes. And the sale is Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Douglas at Perseverance Theater and at the shop.
Awesome. Val Snyder of Brown Boots Costume Company, thanks so much for coming on to talk to us about that very cool shop you run over there and the costume sale this weekend.
Thanks so much.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saving when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing. And you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
And that's in honor of the Brown Boots Costume Company sale happening this weekend on Saturday at 9 a.m. over on the beautiful Douglas Island. Speaking of beautiful,
I'm gonna get there.
Douglas Island.
I'm going to go there before I have to go to work.
Perfect. Rachel Usler here with Arts Up. Hey, welcome. I love when you come over.
Oh, thanks. Nice to actually step out of the building and relax for a second.
That's right. That's right. So you have Arts Up, all the arts events, and actually other things too. It's not just arts, but
on the community calendar, yes. And that's a big one. And basically that's what I go and find all this information on. Occasionally I'll go to our poster boards in town and just see if we've missed anything. But actually, to get your events on the calendar is really, we've got a really slick thing going down now over at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. If you go to www.jahc.org and go to the community calendar page, you can actually just fill out a little form that just says all your events and put full sentences, because we're going to just cut and paste those right into the calendar. And that way we don't get information wrong. You can make sure that you have everything said about your event that you want to have sent. And yeah, it's been really easy to have the form. It goes directly to a Google Doc. We're totally set. And instead of calling info or calling someone and, you know, doing phone tag here and there.
Yeah,
go online, fill out a form, and we will put it on the calendar.
And for people like me, it's dummy-proof, so that's really totally
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. And it doesn't cut you off. You can be like, okay, you can say a whole paragraph about your event if you want.
Yeah.
You know.
So what's happening in this fine town this week?
Well, all kinds of things, it looks like. Just going to the calendar, I'm like, wow, okay, it's only 6 pages at the moment, and that's just the titles, not anything else. As that sounds like karaoke is down at the Rendezvous tonight. There's also a fun one that I just saw. It was Hearts of the Dulcimer that's going to be playing over at the Douglas Public Library. And I was wondering what that was, so I looked on our poster board and on our info notes. And it is actually a feature-length documentary about the mountain dulcimer boom of the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
Would have known.
The people in Douglas.
Well, I guess so. I'm down in the Douglas Library, so you go down there tonight at 5 o'clock, and they're doing the documentaries. So it sounds like maybe the Douglas Public Library might be showing their movie night again, is what it looks kind of like.
Very cool.
Because that might be starting again. You got your normal weekend or your weekly sort of things going on with your mom supports groups and your community gaming nights, family caregiver education and support, and karaoke nights. And those are always found on the web. So if you need any other information, who to contact for those weekly events, those are always there too. And let's see, and we're into Friday. It looks like the Iliad is playing down at Perseverance still, and we'll be doing that. It's what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
Yes, okay, so that's tonight too. And then on Friday, there's the noon organ concert down at State Office Building. That's always fun to know. It's a weekly one, and it's just like, oh, Friday's at noon. go hit an organ concert. Why not?
I say it
awesome
every
pipe organ.
Yeah, I say it every week, and I will continue to do so. It is just the coolest sounding thing ever.
It totally is. Yeah. And, you know, we have all these great little weekly things that, you know, sometimes you forget about, and then you're just like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Then you have, same with like Dan Hobson. He seems to play classical guitar live at the Cold Room quite often.
And he's amazing.
And he is amazing. So you pop down there. There's also on Friday, it looks like a free Zumba night. That is at Suite 907. So that's one of their new events that they're doing. They're trying to do all kinds of events over there. That is the old Marlantinis.
It is.
Okay.
And this girl loves to Zumba, so can you give me some more info? What time?
It's from 7 o'clock. 7 to 9, it looks like.
I bet you didn't know that
no,
about
seven
me.
To, 7 to 8.
Oh,
I did
I
not
gonna,
know, but it's
yeah.
free. And it's at Suite 907. Yes, because normally I think they do have a cover charge for a lot of their events, but this one, okay, go Zumba tomorrow at 7.
Done.
There's also some really fun stuff that's been going on. It looks like this one starts at 9:30 and goes to midnight. It's a Blues Borealis. But I know that Daniel over at Wild Oven has been putting this on. And this is actually the kickoff. It's at Rockwell. It'll be the kickoff for his weekend of music and blues dancing. So it sounds like he has a couple different lessons on throughout the weekend. And then he also, I think, is going to have a big concert on Saturday, too. So it looks like concerts at night, dancing lessons during the day. It's a whole big blues extravaganza.
And if you're like me and you're wondering, how is blues dancing different from dancing in general, you should probably go take a lesson.
Yes. Go ask Daniel.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it.
Yeah, totally. 'Cause I'm like,
and he'll give you lessons.
Yeah.
And they're free, it sounds like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The lessons itself said were free, so.
Very cool.
Yeah, and once again, just go, I don't have lots of the info, but that is on our calendar if you need to know anything else about that. And then you still, again, on Saturday. Oh, it looks like DJ Gift is actually at the Rendezvous on Friday night also. And then on Saturday, you have, once again, the Iliad, and this is the Blues Borealis is going on during the day. It looks like from noon. Well, actually, it's a full-day thing is what he wrote on the calendar, so we've got to go and check out what time he has his lessons at here and there. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be there pretty early because I'd like to get to all the furs before everyone else does. But the costume sale over at Brown Boots and Perseverance, it's in the Phoenix Room, right?
Yeah.
Or are they actually doing it in Brown Boots
It'll
also?
It'll be in both locations.
Both.
It's that big.
Oh, my God. So much fun.
Yeah.
I already have a problem with my closets over, but you know,
you
can't pass up
surprise.
The fun stuff.
That's great.
And then actually on Canvas, or the Canvas is doing some cool events I saw on Saturday.
Yeah, we talked to them about that today.
Did you?
The Tiles and Fire Community Arts event. It's happening at Sandy Beach.
Cool, because you know about me that I used to do ceramics for, like throughout my whole college career, and I'm very, very into my pit fires. If I could do everything to that day, I would, and I would be down there. Basically, it's just giant fires and ceramics. It's super cool. Down on Sandy Beach, that should be a really, really fun one. Hopefully someone's down there from the newspaper taking pictures or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be good photo op. And they also have wheel throwing. It looks like they're doing it at Canvas right now, too. Blues Borealis, another dance workshop. This one actually does have a time. It's from noon to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So that is also on Saturday. But you might not be there because you might be drinking beer at the Beer Festival, which is going to be happening from 1 to 5 over at the Jack. We're going to get everything pulled out and put together and open the back doors, go all completely out into the backyard because there's no other way you can fit that many people in and that much beer in, really. But I know they're coming to talk to you tomorrow. They'll probably even have a couple guest brewers because all these brewers from all over the state are coming in right now.
So
which
awesome.
Which is always super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because brewers are just fun to hang out with.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what I love about this particular event, it's actually drinking beer for a cause.
It,
I mean,
definitely.
It really
oh,
is.
No, Rotary puts this on, and Rotary definitely, like, all their money goes to good causes.
And, you know, I like to drink beer, but I like the beer even better when it's for a cause.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I totally do, too.
Exactly.
Makes it worth it.
Yeah, and what time is that event? 1 to 5?
That is 1 to 5, and that will be over at the Jack. If you do need to get tickets, we've had people coming into the Jack to get tickets, but they are not actually available there. They're only available online at www.capbrewfest.com. And so just go directly online. You would want to buy your tickets in advance because they will sell out. There might be a few left at the door, but not that many. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of, there's a couple of really good bands playing too.
Yes.
We've got DNR and A, they're awesome. And then also C. Scott Fry is playing.
Correct.
So it's going to be pretty cool. Check that out.
All right. And Betsy was just talking about figuring out how to put up all the sound and everything like that. And let's see, also on Saturday, it looks like you have, if you're not drinking beer, this is something for people that are not drinking beer, is the CBJ Day of Play at the library.
I wonder what that is.
Well, it's at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library. It was put in by Beth, who's been running all kinds of programs at the library, so I bet you it's just a day of play, really. Go down and play at the library.
Like board games and stuff? Or
maybe. I didn't get to look that
paintball?
One up.
Paintball?
I don't have my computer. So
I'm taking paintball to the library.
There you go.
Here
that
I come.
Be fun.
Beth is like, I love you every other day but today. Nice.
And then again, on we're still on Saturday, Blues Boreales has another free lesson and dance, but they're doing this one at UAS, not at Rockwell. And that should be at six to eight. I'm really bad with my military time, can you tell? And there's also, looks like, a painting party at Louise Miller Fine Arts Studio. I need to figure this one out. I've seen two different events from her. The next day they're having a painting party for children also. So I don't know a lot about that event. I need to look it up myself on our calendar and figure out what that's all about. And the Louise Miller Fine Arts Studio. I need to know where that is, too.
I know, right?
Something to discover. There's always new things to discover in our town. Southeast Saline, Alaska Saline, is having their end-of-the-season party. Dan Hobson's going to be playing at the Gold Room again. And then on Saturday evening, Blues Borealis, what there seems like their whole weekend blues festival dance party, is wrapping up with a dance party with Kari and the Wrist Rockets. So they're going to be playing at the Hangar Ballroom. Looks like he's doing events all throughout town.
Super
so
fun.
I would, if you want to make sure you're in the right spot, go to the calendar and make sure I didn't give you bad information.
Awesome.
Do not trust me. I've got lots of things going on today. And then Sunday, he has another workshop, which looks like it's from 1 to 4, also at the Hangar Ballroom. So this is just a blues weekend for dancing and doing those kind of things. On Sunday, you also have the play, which is a nice way to end the Sunday. There's also the weekly ukulele jam at T.K. McGuire's, which is over at the Prospector. And like I said, there was a painting party for children, which is going to happen at the Louise Miller Fine Arts Studio from 1 to 3. Looks like international folk dance is starting again at the Alaska Club. I know there's a lot of people that were doing that. And then at 6:45, you have the Music on the Fly concert series over down at the airport. And that one looks like Juno Wind Ensemble is going to be playing there from 6:45 to 7:45. And that's kind of, and then we kind of wind down after Sunday. We have just our weekly events. You have Taku Toastmasters. There's the Intro to Belly Dance class that's been going on.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Where do people find this calendar?
Oh, can I tell you one more thing before we go?
Please.
At Arts Roundtable on Tuesday. It's been a really great one. Local artist groups have all been coming in, and we host this over at the Jack, usually in the gallery. That's at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And we've been getting lots of stuff. On this Tuesday, we're actually going to have, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's going to come in and talk to us about an LLC or a sole proprietorship as an artist. So if you're interested in any of that, 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And where to find everything is at www.jahc.org, or you can go to ktoo.org and go to the link that goes community calendar that we share.
Rachel, always a pleasure.
Thank
you so
Shona.
Much for honing in all this information for us.
Have a good one.
You too. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872. We're also online at ktoo.org.